thought for today. A self-confident being lives big, right, and with style. A self-confident being lives big, right, and with style. And I repeat, a self-confident being lives big, right, and with style. What is a self-confident being? I always ask a question, then I answer it for you. A self-confident being is one who believes in himself, one who has found peace in himself, one who knows that the things that he does are correct. The road that he walks is correct. The dance that he dances is correct. I often say, give me any topic you want and I'll speak on it. And I'll say what I have on my mind. The title does not disturb me. When I go to a dance, when I was a youngster, I learned about 5 dances, maybe 6. Foxtrot, tango, waltz, and square dance, and whatever else, you know. And so when I go dancing with anybody, whatever the music does to me, I do my waltz, or I do my two-step, or I do whatever I'm doing. I just do it. And they're just dancing hippity-ho and having a great time out there, and I'm doing my measured steps, because that's what I've learned to do. Now, one day, I may do hippity-ho, too. I may just let go and live it in style. But that doesn't come all of a sudden. I am trained by all of the experiences I had at the Arthur Murray Dance School in Milwaukee. I learned how to dance, and I was good. I danced with my sister, and she was good. And we danced together, and we were okay. But when we danced with other people, wow, were we good. Together, we were each trying to teach the other, because we had learned together. And so we were each making sure the other was doing the step right. When we danced with other people, we didn't care what they were dancing. We just danced our dance and had a good time. It's interesting how many women don't know how to be led. They want to get out on the floor and lead you. And the man is supposed to lead, or at least somebody's supposed to lead. And so if the man lets the woman lead, that's fine, because then the man doesn't have to think about anything. He just goes along and has a good time. And if a woman lets herself be led, she doesn't have to think about anything. She just goes along and has a good time. And the man spins her out and in, and they dance and have a good time. You have to sort of learn where you stand on this thing here, because you can have all the self-confidence in the world, but if it isn't harmonious with your world, then you accomplish very little. Now, how can you have self-confidence and live big? Well, if you have self-confidence and you live big, what does big mean? Big means that you have the fulfillment of every desire of your heart. How about that? To live big means you have, if you have a big house and a big car and a big wife and a big family and a big this and a big that, it means, you know, you have abundance. If you have big bills and big expenses and big projects, you live in abundance. You have to, because otherwise you couldn't have the big bills if you didn't live in abundance to have the big bills. But we're not really talking about that, are we? We're talking about something that transcends the human limitations. Think about, what does self-confidence mean to you? Does self-confidence mean that you can go and drive a bike or ride a motorcycle, especially a Harley Davidson, you know? Or if you can go and water ski in a single water ski where you steer it yourself and you stand on it, or when you are pulled behind a boat? Or can you skydive or fly an airplane, or can you drive a car? Self-confidence doesn't mean any of those things. It could, but it doesn't. Self-confidence means that you like yourself and you're content with yourself. You think you are a very nice person and you enjoy your own company. You like being As you would say, I like being me. You like being yourself. Now, this is not something that comes easy to everyone, because we are taught by our family, our friends, and our world, behave. Act like a gentleman. Act like a lady. Don't go around acting like a jerk, like a fool. Make our family proud of you, that you're a member of our family. Don't go around and do things that make us not proud of you. Always, we're going out there. Now, make your daddy proud. Make your mommy proud of you. The day when we start making ourselves proud of us, that's the day we've grown up. Or, if not grown up, we've grown back to our original purity and integrity. We're aware of who we are as divine beings. We are doing it for ourselves. We're not trying to impress somebody else. We're not trying to make somebody else like us or enjoy us. We don't care. And we're good people. It doesn't mean that we're naughty people. We're good people. We're really nice because we like the things we do. It's things that we appreciate doing. And so we're just nice people. And so we're going to the door of a restaurant, and then there's a bunch of people standing there, and we pull the door open, and they rush in. And we opened it for ourselves, but they rush in. So we say to them, have a good day, have a good supper, have a good dinner. Oh, the food here is excellent. I know you'll really enjoy it. Make a joke out of it. Make a joy out of it. And by the time you go in there, you just are ready to eat. Oh, would you damn people get out of my way? I opened the store for myself. Well, they didn't open it for you. Get off my back. Get out. You know, and you go in there, and you have no happy appetite. But make something happy out of every experience. Be big about it. When somebody takes advantage of a situation that you hadn't intended to have taken advantage of, make it into a happy situation. This oftentimes happens. You're sitting down in a restaurant, and you're moving your carcass around so that you can sit on these benches, you know, you're sitting down there. And as you sit down, somebody comes along and bumps you. And you almost fall into your seat. And you turn around and you say, what the heck? Watch where you're going. Or if you just say, thanks, I needed that. It helped me get into the seat here. I appreciate that. You know, make everything into beauty and goodness. And like the man, he's sitting at the table, getting ready to leave, paying the bill. And his wife or girlfriend takes out her purse. And she starts putting her lipstick on. And she starts combing her hair. And she starts prettying herself to go out of the restaurant. And the man says, sweetheart, you cannot improve on perfection. You are beautiful. And so, with that, she realizes she can't improve on it. So she puts her paraphernalia away. Now, if he were to say to her, what the heck is this? That doesn't show any style or class to put lipstick on at the table, to comb your hair at the table, and here in a restaurant or at home or anywhere. That's no class. That's no style. Well, she would just, you know, accept that, but not accept another date. She doesn't need to go out with someone who tells her she doesn't have class or style. She needs to go out with someone, as she chooses to, who says, you are so beautiful. You just can't improve on it. No matter how hard you try, you're gorgeous. I mean, what can she do? Can she keep putting the paste on her face? She has to stop because she recognizes he means it. He's sincere. But you see, there's an art to being sincere. There's an art to being thoughtful. There's an art to having style. There's an art to being big. And there's an art to doing it right. And we can learn that art. We can put that art into practice. If you want to, you can put that art into practice. But you cannot put that art into practice if you have an axe to grind. If you have, if you want to teach the world what you feel is right for the world. Even the song, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Look, jerk, The world is singing in perfect harmony. Why are you trying to say the world shouldn't sing? It should sing in perfect harmony. It's singing in perfect harmony, right? We should look for it to sing in perfect harmony. Now, we have six people here with six tones. When we do the Om, we have six tones. And I take more of the bass tone and give it a little bit of power, and then we all sort of blend around it. But I'm not supposed to do that. The person who leads the Om is supposed to lead the tone. But some of you sort of leave the tone to whoever wants to take it. And that's wise, because then you're relaxed and you're at peace. If singing a tone is not your thing, just flow with it. Let it go. Do it with style. If someone has a better tone that you think maybe even sounds nicer, go with it. I oftentimes say, oh, I'm looking for the tone that one of you is using because it seemed kind of good. Sometimes it is very difficult to find because it is just an octave off or on or just a point here or there, and it's difficult to find. But anyhow, when you do it with class, you don't belittle the other person's tone. You do yours, and you let theirs stand. Even if theirs is off a beat, even if theirs is almost destructive to your ears, you just flow with it. You have the ability to do everything big and do everything right and to do everything in style if you want to. But most of the time we don't want to. And do you know why we don't want to do it in style? We don't want to do it in style because we have preconceived ideas of how it should be done. Have you ever noticed that? You have a preconceived idea. Now, if I were to sing Lullaby, who wrote it, please?
Brahms.
If I were to sing Lullaby and Goodnight, and I would sing, God, I am God, God I am God, God I am, some person would come along and say, you're off pitch. It's supposed to be, I am God, God I am. And then some other person would come along and say, that's too low. You got to sing it higher. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. Hey, you're singing crazy. What's the matter with you? And no matter what you do, no matter who you sing for, no matter who you try to be harmonious with, you're not going to. You can only be harmonious with yourself. When you sing, if you sing with class, with style, with bigness, with rightness, everybody will follow. There was a time that Ellen could not sing. She could sing, but not with any class or style or bigness. But Ellen caught fire of an idea. And the idea is, I like me. And so every seminar we go to, she teaches the group to sing, I like me. She teaches the group to sing, I like me. Here she is. She felt she could never carry a tune. She could never sing very well. And she didn't have much volume. And she was a little reticent to do things in public. Now all of a sudden, here she is leading a whole seminar in singing. Or a whole group of children, wherever they may be, singing. It doesn't matter. What is going on in Ellen? Ellen is learning style. She's learning class. She's learning goodness. She's learning to do things in a big way. And she's not doing it for the people. She's doing it for herself. She says, now this is how I sing. I like me. Ellen, sing it for us.
I like me.
Change your octave. That's fine. I like me. And would you believe, go ahead, would you believe not long ago she didn't know what the word octave meant? And now, have you noticed how she has sung three octaves in one phrase? I like me. I like me. Does it bother her? Is she distressed by the fact that her music is not Maria Lanza or what's her name down in Australia?
Kiri Takanawa?
Kiri Takanawa? No, that's your people. I'm talking about operatic. Maria Callas. So, these things were not. I could probably not go by as some great operatic singer, even though I studied opera. But I sing for me. And I sing with a happy voice. And I sing with happy words and happy notes. And people like to hear me sing. At least they're kind to say they do. But they like to hear me sing. And if they don't like to hear me sing, they can go in the other room. But wherever I go, whenever I sing, people like it. Wherever I go, whenever I talk, people like it. Wherever I go, however I am, people like it. People like it because I like it. And I am the creator of my world, and everybody in my world likes me just the way I am. And I do it in a big way, and I do it right, and I do it with style. Do you do that too? Do you do everything right in a big way with style? Do you just let it out? Ellen was down in Nigeria, and she was before these two schools, each one with 1,000 or more students in it, all gathered in front of Ellen. And Ellen stood up in front of them, and she says, "I'm going to teach you to sing." See, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Now, Ellen didn't know what perfect harmony was. She didn't know what sing was. She knew what like was. And so at least she had one out of three going. And so she stood up there and she says, "I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me." And she loves her round. So then she, "Now you say I like me. Now you come in with me. Now you come in with this here." And she had them singing their hearts out. Of course, they loved to sing anyhow, so she had that on her side. But she did it big. She did it with 1,000 kids and their teachers. And she was teaching them how to sing. And they have been asking her to come back every year since. They don't realize that she's learned some other songs. She's going to teach them to sing those too. But they've asked her to come back. Now, would they ask her to come back if they didn't like everything she presented? No. Did she speak with a loud enough voice to tell them that she loved them? Over this 1,000 people, did you have a microphone?
No.
You had to just speak out loud and clear.
Yes.
And you did that, didn't you?
Yes.
And the ones in the back heard you just as well as the ones in the front, didn't they?
Yes.
And they gave you their wonderful attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt very much rewarded from the point of view, hey, they're listening to me. They all want to hear what I have to say. Now, if you had been there with your hand puppets, you could have even spellbound them more, couldn't you? But these are things that we do. These are things that we do. We want to do everything we do in a big way. Whatever is our way, let it out. And don't worry if you stumble or fall. Don't worry if you forget it all. Just give whatever and be tall. You see, just stand tall in yourself. Be big. Have style. When Maria Lanza makes a mistake, you don't even know it, because he just sings right on. And perhaps he doesn't make a mistake. Have you ever been able to find one in his singing? You haven't really looked, have you? Because you're just enchanted with the way he presents himself. You're enchanted with the music. You're enchanted with his style. Now, do you have style? The saint. He is a very unusual person. He has style. He has class. He has bigness about him. And he also has what he feels is doing it right. Now, when he hits a wrong note, he hits it with gusto. And he goes right on to the next note, and it doesn't disturb him that he hit a wrong note. And he consistently likes to hit that wrong note. But he doesn't care. He's just up there having a great old time. The smile on his face is big, all outdoors. And he just says, I'm enjoying myself. And his repertoire, how many pieces of music does he know? I believe it's one. And our other friend, Robert, who sat down with his guitar and acted so competent and so marvelous, and he said, I know four pieces. And bless his heart. And he played all four. And they were wonderful. They wouldn't have won him an Academy Award, but perhaps they would have won him an Academy Award playing the way he did. But he was great. He was just great. He got up there and did his thing. And he amused himself, and he amused himself, and he amused himself, and he amused us. You see, be yourself and have fun. Everything you do in life, you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for anybody else, even though you may have an auditorium filled with people. You're doing it for yourself. Have you ever noticed in an auditorium, at a high school or at some church event or something, there's always the janitor and there's always the sound technician. And the janitor is always bending over trying to be, so you can't see him as he walks across the stage to take care of something. And he's always trying to be inconspicuous. And the more he tries to be inconspicuous, the more conspicuous he is. If he would just stand up and walk across that stage as though this is what he was supposed to do, and do it, and then walk across the stage with dignity as though that was what he was supposed to do, everyone would, hooray, what a wonderful presentation, you know. But no, he wants to be hidden. He wants to be invisible. And he hasn't learned that yet. He hasn't taken the University of Healing courses and gone on into the graduate work, you know. But if he would learn that, then, of course, it wouldn't matter. He'd just walk across the stage and no one would see him, and walk off and no one would see him, except maybe a wastebasket floating along in the air. But he could make that invisible, too. But, you see, whatever you do, do it with style. Do it with dignity. Do it with charm, with class. And the class is, what's the number one thing, the number one prerequisite for class? That you like yourself. If you like yourself, you will walk out there with dignity, with charm, with imagination, and you might be the highlight of the show as you go off to do something. Or the mic cord comes disconnected and the speaker is speaking up there. And so the technician comes out there, you know, and he comes over to the mic cord, and he tightens it up and looks around to see if people are looking at him. Of course they're looking at him, you know. And then he tightens it in there. And he said, go, tick, tick, tick. Okay now? Yes? All set? Go. Go. You know. He walks off the stage, a clown, an actor, a wonderful presentation, beautiful. He likes himself. He almost likes himself. He's still down, you know, like, but he knows that he's playing a game. And his game is trying to be coy. And anyone in the audience who knows what he's doing says, okay, okay. But the rest of them who don't know what he's doing, they think that he's just, you know, a shy little fellow coming up. He's not shy. He wouldn't have that job if he were shy. Because he has to walk out there unannounced before all the audience and do menial little things, you know, like wipe up some water somebody spilled so that somebody isn't going to trip on him. But, you see, that's doing a style, living with imagination. But first, you like yourself. And when you like yourself, you can do anything. I was at the Fullerton Junior College, University of California Junior College over in Fullerton, and I was the third speaker on the program. Well, the first speaker didn't come. And so the head of the program said, Herb, will you speak? Sure. So I spoke. And that was when Shafia Karagula, Dr. Shafia Karagula, was supposed to be the first speaker. And she got there just after I got started. And I was glad she had a chance to hear me. And I just was really great guns. And I was giving my talk just wow, wow, wow. And everybody was just drinking it up. And it was really best they started the program with me because it set the tone for the whole program. Because everybody after that came out there with class and style and bigness, you know. And that's the way I present myself. And so we came to the last speaker of the program, and he didn't show. And so the program director says, "Herb, can you handle it?" "You bet." So I got up there, and I pulled out all the stops, and I gave them sort of a gathering together of what everyone had said and gathered together the contents of their talks and what directions the program had gone and whether we had met our goal of the topics that we had set before us. And then I gave them a little cream on top of the ice cream, you know, a little chocolate and so forth at the end. And I said, "And when I was talking to somebody, I don't recall the illustration right at the moment, but when I was talking to somebody over in Europe or something, you know, and that always sparkles their ears if you talk to somebody someplace else. As I was talking to them, they said, you know, every group thinks that their topic is the most important topic in the world. And they believe that their presentations are the most magnificent of those in the world. But actually, the only presentation that makes any difference is the presentation that we make of ourselves to ourselves." And I gave an illustration or two on that. And then I closed the program with a meditation or a benediction, and everyone appreciated it. Well, as everyone walked out the door, what was the buzzword they were talking about? They were talking about being themselves and having fun, liking themselves, living in themselves. The very topics that I brought up. Now, I don't need that as a pat on the back, but it was just wonderful to be called at those times to fill in spontaneously, to move out of sync with the other way that the program had been planned and balance everything up. I always like to speak at the end of the program. And I always like to speak at the beginning of the program. And I always like to speak in the middle of the program. So, I mean, generally I like to give the program myself. Because when I give the program myself, I can do magic. When I have to weave myself in with other people who are on the program, they're sometimes insecure, they're sometimes not sure of themselves, they're sometimes unaware of how wonderful they are. But if they would allow me to introduce every speaker, that speaker would be flying by the time he got to the platform. Because when I introduce a speaker, I tell how wonderful he is, what a marvelous asset he is to his community, how everyone enjoys hearing him speak, how all the little children just sit goggle-eyed as they look at him as he presents his ideas to them on the front porch of his home. And, you know, things that may or may not be true, but they are. I know. And so he gets up there and he says, "Yes," and he goes right into his talk. He doesn't have to have any introduction. He doesn't have to do anything except move right into his talk because his topic has been introduced, and he just goes. And I've been a panel moderator for a number of shows like this, and every one of them, every person who I introduced flew right into their topic because I encouraged them, I told how good they were, how wonderful they were, and how fantastic they were, and they rose to it, big, right, and with style. And that's what you can do. You don't need someone to introduce you. We don't need someone to pave the way for us. They don't even have to know that we are with the University of Healing. They don't have to know that we're a practitioner. They don't have to know we're a minister. They don't have to know we're a doctor. They don't have to know any of that. When we get up to speak, they'll know who we are. They'll know by what we say how big we are, how right we are, and how much style we have. They'll know. So never fear. When you are yourself and you're having fun, the world loves you. And so it is.